Thank you. Thank you, Hayley.
Thank you, Chair. Just to introduce the reports, this is the second time we've delivered a report on this financial year. Previously, presenting in July. It seems to have been a long time since July. We'll be presenting it again in February, so you wait a long time for the committee to get through some of the ones.
Buy one, get one free.
Since previous report, the corporate management team have, in conjunction with the organisation's attendance team, which I'm a member, have reviewed the risk register and made alterations both to the risks in the risk register and also how they're reported. To deal first with the changes in the risk regarding finance is separated into two risks, one dealing with the in-year budgets and one dealing with the medium-term financial strategy. This was done with the mitigation of both risks is quite different and will be tracked separately. An additional risk is now to deal with the uncertainty during Brexit negotiations and how the ability of the council to deliver services for the UK departure from the EU could be impacted. And I'll leave that specifically around, it's typically around workforce issues. And additional risk regarding the speed of organisational change. The impact of the culture of the organisation to not change swiftly enough for the delivery of required transformation of the corporate plan. The risk was regarding the provision of acceptable quality of practice now, so care not slightly, there's now a risk when recruiting the staff to provide an acceptable quality of practice. The risk regarding economic development has been removed since we've got the impact of mitigation forward in both the Brexit list and the risk of achieving the vision for the island. And an additional risk again regarding dealing with an additional demands placed on the council by pandemic flu. With regard to the reporting changes, previously the owner of each strategic risk has provided quite a long commentary regarding the way risk is being dealt with, and although those commentaries are quite detailed, they don't change very much over time, so it's difficult to track the changes in the risk score for any one particular reason. So to provide more up-to-date, concise information to risk owner, draw up a list of key mitigations which are in place to deal with that risk. Each of those mitigations have an owner, an assigned owner, and the organisational attendant team gather information from those assigned officers. The advantage of this, I suppose, would be information is gathered from sources closer to the actions actually being taken to deal with the risk, rather than an overall review. And it's intended obviously by concentrating on mitigation for each risk rather than just an overview, it's possible to detail the reasons why the score does or doesn't change over time. Because obviously, over recent months and years, some of the risk scores have changed very little. So we'd love to find evidence of reasons why that is the case and why they're not going up and down. And then follows the tables regarding each risk. There's nothing especially significant about anything to add on or post any of those individual reports. So really not open up any questions, which I can't any I can't answer, I'll go to the risk owner or mitigation owner and provide a written response. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dave. Are there any questions on this, Paul? Would you like to start?
Thank you, Chairman. The issue that I'm going to flag up is the RED's current score for adult social care, which is again of concern. One of the issues that has been highlighted is that the ICT working pilot highlighted on page 87 is that the ICT working pilot will not meet the kit milestones for adult social care due to the prioritisation of ICT resources for the county board moves. Now, from my perspective, I would have thought trying to get adult social care right, given its prioritisation within this, was perhaps more important than the county hall moves. However, that said, I have some real concerns about some of the things that are bubbling under with adult social care, and also the fact that we're not able to recruit as widely and as highly as we need to. Certainly one of the things that I get a lot of complaints from my residents is the fact that social workers have still quite a high turnaround, which is unacceptable for the people that they are looking after, and people with real severe care needs. How is that being addressed, and how can we get away from the red score that we've currently got within ASC? Thank you.
I should just pick up the point regarding the rollout of mobile kit and county hall moves. That's something I've got a background in within the department. In actual fact, more of an update from there. Adult social care staff, as they move to county hall, and this is scheduled to happen around March, will receive their mobile devices ahead of that time. So the difference in the initial rollout timescales for the project itself and what will happen now, as because of the county hall moves, is very, very similar. So in effect, two things have merged into one. With regard to recruitment, adult social care have now a dedicated member of staff to just manage all of their recruitment processes. So rather than now it using up sort of precious amounts of management time there, once they've got a vacancy, they've got an officer now who will manage the whole process, and basically somebody handing in their notice, having somebody in the position. With regard to the turnover of staff, I don't have information on their levels in adult social care. The QPMR does include information regarding turnover of staff as a whole in the council, but it isn't brand new at that level. I'm sure that information is available for later.
Okay. May I come back?
Again, I understand exactly what you're saying, Dave. I think the issue that I have is that adult social care is one area of the Isle of Wight Council that we need to make pretty severe savings on if we're going to meet our financial commitments. And I'm disappointed to hear that the prioritisation for adult social care is perhaps lower than it should have been. This is something that maybe we should have been a little bit proactive on maybe earlier on. But that aside, wish officers the very best of luck to meet those targets, because we do need to address those. But thank you.
Claire, would you like to come in on that?
Thank you, Chair. I was only just going to say, in terms of the prioritisation, is that part of the issue is that we have to get out of enterprise homes. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a case of putting social care down priorities. That is absolutely priority. But the move is a critical part of the process, which means that, unfortunately, the timestone has slightly slipped in respect of the teams getting the IT kit. But as Dave mentioned, that's part of that process. Everything will be wrapped up in terms of them getting their equipment.
I understand. Thank you.
Just slightly further. Obviously, it's a complicated process. And that number of staff that you can call, we've got to make space for them, and also to make space for them, people that are moving around need to be given IT capability as well, to be more mobile. It's like a giant puzzle.
On a more general level, are the priorities set by the individual departments, or do you set the priorities? What happens? Do you feel that they are adequately showing what level of problem there is?
With regard to risk scores?
Yes.
Risk scores, I can draft them in what I think they should be for CMC to approve or change. Generally, there's probably two or three of CMT change having reviewed the draft report.
So you're saying the final decision is the CMT?
Yes.
Right. Good, okay. Stuart, were you going to say something?
Well, generally on these sort of risk issues, I mean, sometimes the risk is intense and short term. The issue on staff moving, the enterprise house issue, because we actually reached the end of the lease. And we have an overall priority on reducing back office costs, which is what that will do. But all of these balances as to how long a risk will be extant for and what the severity of it is discussed at management team in the first instance, and then we have a joint corporate leadership team meeting every 4 weeks, when if there are issues that can't be resolved that require additional finance or some changes, then jointly those changes are made. And that can affect the risk register either temporarily or longer term. And David's report is the one that therefore reflects what that current risk is.
Thank you, Stuart. Yes, Chris.
The two highest risk definitions are the ones that involve things outside of our control. Brexit, which will get sorted one way or another relatively quickly. But the other one is working with the NHS and CG and things like that, who maybe the spirit is willing, but they tend not to be delivering. Is there, how do we approach trying to keep that moving in the right direction? Because it's one of our key priorities, but we don't always get the support we need.
I'm not sure I can say too much about that other than I'm as a trained project manager. Looking at not worrying the stuff that's doing control, obviously that is impossible in these cases. So I suppose with regard to integration, we're going to make sure that as a council, improvements we make are beneficial to us and partners rather than just us to the detriment of partners and individual partners to do the same. With regard to Brexit, I'm not an economist. Sorry.
I'm happy to have a little comment for that, Chair. Not on Brexit, but on the issues of working with the NHS. I know that both Claire Mossel and Carol Thomas are fine trying to get some coordinated working exceptionally difficult. We're lucky to have a better chief executive now for the NHS Trust, and that's helping. But we're also finding, for example, that some of the projects, I can recall one where the CCG was supposed to be putting in a very substantial chunk of money and decided they couldn't afford to at the last minute. And there are things that we do. Perhaps the best example is the DTOP process, where us putting in a team which enables people to move out of hospital care quickly and successfully, and also actually saves the council some money, has saved the NHS millions of pounds. And it would be nice if they could contribute some of that saving towards our costs in doing that, but there is no sign of it so far.
Yeah, we've tried, Stuart, but the press aren't here, so you're preaching to the converted amongst those here. Is that okay for everybody? Now, you'll be pleased to know this is the only time in this meeting that we actually have to decide something, because instead of noting it, we've got to approve it. Yeah, that's a bit of fun, isn't it? Chris?
So we approve the strategic wish that the council set out in paragraph 14.
I'll second that. Can we vote, please? That's unanimous, thank you. So we've done something today. I haven't just noted here. You're very honoured, Dave. You're the only person who's had anything voted on, approved as a decision rather than just noting. So can I thank you, Dave, for coming in and giving the report? And we look forward to seeing you again just after Christmas, isn't it? Okay, thanks.